views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, October 7th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we discuss conspiracy theories. Can you imagine that? We're going to discuss conspiracy theories, immigration, shantytowns, and I want to talk about a recent post that a pseudo-intellectual questioned the Bahamian constitution, questioning and suggesting that the Bahamian government does not have the right or cannot give citizenship to a particular set of people. So I'm going to discuss that as best I can. And I supposed to have a panel today and only one person show up. You know, but they claim that they're on their way, so I'm kind of excited about that. Some people do run late, but I do have Erin Green who stayed back for me, and I'm going to put that question to her, and we're going to have some things. So welcome. Good morning. Good yawning this morning, Erin.
Good yawning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Last week, we had the panel, of course, right? And we had a myriad of topics that we discussed, and we went around the room. And one of the questions of last week was, what is the duty of care for the Bahamian government, or does the Bahamian government have a duty of care for Haiti? And the question stems from the pronouncement several times by the prime minister that that he, along with two other Caribbean countries, have joined together to assist Haiti as best they can to move them forward, to address the Haitian crisis. Also, his petition to the United Nations in regards to their duty of care to the island that is going through some things, right? And we were questioning whether we in the Bahamas have a duty of care, or should we just ignore what is happening there and move on? And you were discussing that all of us basically have a duty of care because it impacts us. And I just want you to comment that, and then we can move forward again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. We have to have a duty of care for Haiti, for our brothers and sisters. First of all, if we're going to continue to call ourselves a Christian nation, right? If we're going to say, listen, don't mind what the actual Constitution says, we are Christian people and we are a Christian nation, then we absolutely have a duty of care to the Haitian people. I mean, you can't deny that, right? That's a moral question. We have a historic ancestry connection with Haiti.
Explain that.
I'm saying that many of us mm-hmm. are related to Haitians.
Okay.
Historically. Mm-hmm. Right, so it may not be in the last 40 years, it may not be in the last 50 years, it may have been in the last 70 years, mm-hmm. it may have been in the last 100 years, right? But nationally, right, like as a collective, you can never forget that Stephen Dillard, a mm-hmm. young Haitian baby, is one of our first man of color mm-hmm. in the house, right? But culturally and biologically, it is undeniable that we are also Haitian. Mm-hmm. It's not all of us. It's not everyone. But we also must remember that these connections existed before the migrant crisis, right? It was exacerbated before this time. So our perspectives on Haiti were completely different then. We have a duty of care to Haiti. But more importantly, we have a duty of care to Bahamians that require us to be concerned about what is happening in Haiti. Our duty of care to each other, to Bahamians, requires us to not just be on the pulse, not just understand what's happening with Haiti day to day, but we have to attempt to mitigate some of what's happening in Haiti, because it will affect us. There's nothing we can do to stop it.
And I see you mentioned the Constitution in your commentary, but and also you mentioned the word migrant crisis. Just recently, we had the Minister of Immigration said there is no immigration crisis, particularly for regarding the Haitian migrant people, and that it's a problem that we have the resources to resolve.
I could appreciate the minister's statements. You know, I don't think it's exact. Like, I don't think he said exactly what he meant. Right? He could have been far clearer, because what I understand from his statement when he says, "Oh, listen, we're not really experiencing a crisis," in terms of what's happening globally, what's happening between the Bahamas and Haiti is not extraordinary.
And this is where a number of Bahamians may differ, because there are some who would say perhaps a third of the Bahamian population is of Haitian extract. And if that is so, if that is so, because I don't know who does the census anymore. If that is so, then definitely our culture, how we see ourselves, has been changed. We are no longer Bahamian, in quotes. We are a offshoot of what is Bahamiana.
Well, I think our perceptions of what Bahamiana, what Bahamian means, have shifted, but the actual composition, like, nothing has shifted, right? And again, I think it's also to remember that we're talking from a political perspective, right?
Okay.
When we say that nationalism is a political construct, so to say that has Bahamiana changed now that we could say a third of Bahamians are of Haitian descent? Nationalism is a political construct. We've always been a mishmash of African tribes. What is Bahamian? You could find that in Haiti as well, right? Like, there's Igbo, there's people from, you know, descendants from Mali, there's descendants from East Africa. There's that mishmash all over the place. So when we look ethnically, right, like when we look at the genetics of it, nothing has changed. We've always been a mishmash of African tribes.
But I would put this to you. You go to a Bahamian breakfast stall now. You get spaghetti with egg inside it.
Yeah.
They call it Haitian spaghetti.
Yeah.
That's not normal. That means we have changed. You go to a Bahamian restaurant now for breakfast, you get ackee and cod fish. This is a staple. This is in front, right? Next to the grits and the corned beef and the sausage, the steamed sausage.
Now,
this is now what Bahamians are now asking for.
Haitian spaghetti is a lot newer than ackee and cod fish, right? I think that's cool. Did anybody ask, like, I remember my mother saying, well, my Grammy saying, we don't have none of that cereal in this house. We don't buy cereal like that. We don't Frosted Flakes. That's very American.
Mm-hmm.
Did we question the presence of these very American breakfast staples in our diet? And did we call it, and did we cry out an alarm like, oh, this is not Bahamian enough?
Mm.
This is a problem. We are making our children American by giving them cornflakes.
Touche, but surely we do claim that you seem more American. You have an American way of life, and due to our proximity, that there are times you go, like, everyone wants to go to Denny's. You know, you go to the United States for...
Well, in fact, we look at that recent local conversation about the potential of an IHOP coming to the Bahamas, right?
Same thing.
That's it right there. And some people were like, man, we got to support local ideas, local Bahamians. And then some other Bahamians is like, look here, you know how long I've been waiting for 24-hour pancakes?
Yes, yes. So right? perhaps Anglo things we embrace, but definitely anything Afrocentric we tend to...
Well, it's cultural imperialism, right? And so we tend to be drawn to the larger culture, right? So that's why we have Jamaican music everywhere. Jamaica is the larger culture compared to the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we look in the police face and talk about Miranda rights right before they lock us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we think, you know, we think we are American. It's just about your the social perspective, right? It's okay for cereal because we want to be American. It's not okay for Haitian spaghetti because that's a sign of being Haitian or being poor or being, right? Like that. But the more important thing is that those are political constructs. They aren't real, right? What's real is we all need a heavy breakfast before we start our day. That Haitian spaghetti, mm-hmm. that's food.
That's food.
That's solid.
So let me and bring in our guest host, right, Ian, yeah. from on the panel. And welcome again, Ian, even though you're late.
Thank you for being late. I get to talk a little bit.
Well, yeah. There's a reason I'm late, Dan.
Bring your mic a little closer.
There's a reason I'm late. I was actually in the Camp Road area where...
That incident happened.
Yeah, so everything was basically backed up during that time because we were at the school doing a little prep talk to the children. So I was trying to get out, and it was difficult to get out during that time. And I don't mean to sway the conversation, but it's just too much that is happening in our country in terms of the murders on the streets. I think there has to be a national address. There has to be some amnesty. There has to be something that will be taken serious from the leaders and the powers to be. It just can't go on.
Mm-hmm. You hammed up with this national address could stop crime?
No, it's not going to stop the crime. But when something of that nature happens, there has to be a stop.
The attempt is to cause people to moderate their behavior.
Yes.
Right? So the speech isn't going to stop your boy them. Mm. You know, it ain't going to stop your boy them who are prepared to bang bang. But it will cause others to see the seriousness of the situation
We couldn't. And I think Aaron is right, because the reality of it is that it's like going for breakfast in the morning. We hear about it, like even with the vexing situations in the country, we talk about it today, and then tomorrow seems like we've forgotten about it. But these are the sons and the daughters of our soil. How could we just move on when we looked at the scenario, what happened in the Mackey Street area with the six guys?
Yes,
Chesapeake and Jerome Avenue. Yeah. There were six Bahamian men, whether they were gang affiliated, so forth. They were gunned down. There were six individual Bahamians that were gunned down into those vehicles. Did we have a national address? Did we stop anything? Did we do anything?
It is what it is.
We have to remember now the ripple that we place into the water, then it's going to eventually become a catastrophic something that's mm-hmm. going to come back to us and haunt us. Because right now, as a small country, we're in the double digits as we speak.
So you want a pep talk?
I don't want to have a pep talk. I'm thinking that the parents, the community, the society, we need a wake-up call to say that it's over 100 murders and it isn't even Christmas time yet.
Well, I mean, and I think the murders aren't the start of the problem, right? They are the consequence of something deeper. And it's important for us to understand that, you didn't pick up a gun, right? But if you are an employer that didn't fulfill your obligations to your employee, like the paycheck wasn't ready, or right, I couldn't sign that form for you because the person with the form gone to lunch, but you need that form for your insurance, or you need that form to for the bank. You've been frustrated by someone's negligence, their disregard for the importance of their job in your life. When we don't live up to our duties of care, right, then we can sometimes impact people's lives in ways that we don't understand. So I think there is a direct link between the people who continue to run stop signs and red lights.
Definitely.
And the crime and the response to the crime and the frustration. I mean, there's a link. And so having a national address, right, mm-hmm. like you say, it can't just be empty.
Right,
I feel where you're heading with that, Cecil. It can't just be empty.
It will be empty. I mean, we have had addressed before. The Prime Minister is in the newspaper today. The Prime Minister is in the newspaper today, said that he is very concerned about crime, and he went in a long slew he's concerned. I guess similar to your national address, it's already been done.
Not at the level I'm probably.
Or you want sirens also?
Not just sirens. See,
you want bells and whistles.
The reality of it is this:
food added to it.
No, we can change all of these things through legislations. It's a matter of us going in the House the way we normally do, and we pass things in the House. The reality of the situation is...
And I see I have a caller, but what legislation are you talking about?
We have individuals that are getting on. They're on bond for two and three murders. That's crazy.
So But they, someone could be innocent and charged.
Three times?
Three times?
Yeah, 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 like you could be innocent and charged. I mean, oh, yeah, that's given.
But you don't think they deserve a bail if they're innocent and charged?
Allow Aaron to interject.
You sound communist.
Bail is constitutional, and it's not. The problem isn't that we just give everybody bail. The problem is that the system is so dysfunctional that you cannot reasonably deny bail. Right? That's the problem. The resources, which is the effort, need to be directed towards fixing the judiciary. Okay. Right? So that's what we talk about, that duty of care. This behavior that we see, whether it's vigilante justice, right? Whether it's gang violence, tit for tat retaliation, whether it's interpersonal conflict. These matters are being resolved in these ways, right? Outside of the sort of gang violence.
In broad daylight,
people are resolving their personal issues with guns and knives because there are no other reasonable means of resolution. Now, you say, people will say, oh, that, you know, they live in the inner city. They don't believe in the courts. They're supposed to just believe in the courts and use the courts. Have you attempted to use the courts in this country? I spent 3 years before the courts with magistrate trying to, I guess, protect a police officer from his own stupidity, right? And my matter got resolved rather quickly because of who I am and who I sound like, right? I sound like my mother, a civil servant. Mm-hmm. I had another matter, an accident, where a working employee driving the company car, sixth time I go to pick up the police report, because somebody in the station recognized my voice as my mother's voice, and they asked Ms. Green in here again for this police report. If I tell y'all how I almost gone to jail before the guy looked at the report and said, oh, wait, there's something wrong here, right? A bit of privilege because I look and sound like my mother. People having to deal with these things, they give up.
Frustration.
And so they resort to their own power to deal with these matters.
But Aaron, I've been ignoring the phones. So let me go to the phones. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for being patient with us. How would you like to contribute to the conversation today? Caller, can you hear me?
Come on. They lost on this whole crime thing. Honestly, we have a big crisis over here, and you're sending people to go help in Turks and Caicos. It don't add up, man. This government clearly don't care about the crime problem.
But you don't believe we have the resources to help the Turks and Caicos? Caller, you going already? Okay. I can let you comment now, but let me get you this next call. Producer, put the patch
caller
through.
If you'd like to make a call.
Go ahead, caller. Can we hear you?
Yes, Mr. Newry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think I did respect the gentleman, but I don't respect Aaron because she talking fool.
Explain.
I can tell you the truth.
Because she would like to dialogue with you.
A while ago, but bail, that is no truth. Everybody in the Bahamas get, and their mama get bail in the Bahamas, man. Come on. You know? And we got two people just got dropped a while ago. And guess what? Next week, them fellas can be on bail. Come on, we need to do better.
So,
and this thing about sending people to Turks and Caicos, you hear I just say, two just get dropped. We need them here.
But look, you know? Caller, give me 20 seconds, because Aaron would like to engage you, but I want to also engage you also, because this is some good things you brought up, and I wanted to speak, right? Usually, someone gets bail when they spend a period of time detained and the court case didn't come up on time, right? So if you give you 6 months for the court case to start, right, and the 6 months come up and the court case isn't ready yet, what should happen?
Mr. Dury.
I just asked him what should happen.
What? I'm laughing at you. Because I know people who did murders, but in a 2 weeks' time, they was out. You know, joke about that. I don't know where the hell where these people come from. Who coming on these show talking all this foolishness? Get some professional people come on. Mm-hmm. You know? And I know people who did 3 and 4 murders and was on bail.
I think that's my point, Dale. I think that the reality is this. If a man is innocent until proven guilty, yes. I believe that if you're brought before the courts for a matter like murder, like he said, and you end up in a few months back again for the exact same case. I mean, I can't understand three three times the charms. Like, you're on bail.
Like you say, you have a number of time per period for you to bring up the case. And if the the state is not ready. Now, picture this. Mm-hmm. Suppose you, or three times, right? You mm-hmm. got up and they detained you on a second one. Mm-hmm. And you found out you were innocent of that first one and you were detained all that time. Someone needs to compensate you for the time you were detained.
That happens. And persons do be compensated. They are compensated. But they don't speak about it, Aaron, but they are compensated.
I'm not familiar with that. People are being compensated. Once you are charged and you have the 6 months or the 3 months to be detained, you detained.
Then
you get on bail. But you don't want them going on bail. You want to be detained forever. The cases take 7, 8, 9 years.
But it's not the matter of me not wanting them to get bail because you have the right to bail. The reality of what I'm saying to you is that you have this exact same matter 3-4 times and you're on the streets. Something is wrong with that.
You know you're contradicting. Either they have the right.
Some people know these people in these communities. Like Aaron was saying, you run the red light. You do all of these things that you don't find to be something wrong with that. And the reality is that we get a mindset of this is the way we ought to live. The reality is when these people from these places are doing these high broad daylight murders, people know who these people are. The country isn't that big. Nassau and New Providence is 21/7. These daredevils are moving around in the daylight with the big high-powered rifles.
I don't know not one of them.
You may not know them. Somebody knows them.
I don't know them.
Somebody have to know them. So we are the 21/7.
Out of the three of us, any of us know them?
You're in the 21/7. You grew up, the guy grew up in the ghetto, and we would have known individuals in those areas that we consider to be bad boys.
The problem isn't that the Constitution guarantees right to bail. I mean, the gentleman, if you want to be mad at me, I don't blame you. Don't buck your head against the Constitution. You can knock yourself out. So direct it at me if you want to. But where you should direct it is at your peers. Who over the last several decades, I'm 46, so let's call it the last 50 decades.
Oh, the 50th anniversary is next year.
have refused to fix the judiciary. Don't knock your head against the Constitution, sir, because you're going to knock yourself out. But perhaps it's time for us to acknowledge that the judiciary has failed, and you cannot start to deny people their rights because you don't want to do your job. And I point that out in every sector of society.
I see we have another caller here. Our producer patched the caller through so we can add to the conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello, good morning. How you doing, Ms. Green? Good morning to everybody else.
Morning.
I can hear you. We're kind of a little muffled, but I can hear you.
Okay, you can hear me better now?
Much better.
Okay, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Let me tell you all, 100% on as far as the court. I don't know. If the last time, anytime you go to the court, it seems to be very unprofessional. They have the police, even prosecutor, and he come in with like a suitcase of files, like paper files, and then they never prepare. And so the judges be trying to wait with them. Then you have these high-profile lawyers would come to the court and tell the Honor, well, I got a case in the Supreme Court. What you want me to do? And the people then bring the people down from jail. And bring the officer here already, and all kind of it's just so disorganized, and it's archaic. They've been doing that like that from 18th century. That's the same way they've been doing it. Ain't no computer, ain't no nothing going on there. So yeah, people just get frustrated. Then 9 times out of 10, the fella be in jail, couple of months, the judge get tired of that. And say, guess what? Come up, make court, free this man. Then he's placing on the street. Boom! Now you have the problem. And so if we keep doing the same thing, the same way, all the time, we can get the same results. And the police, I don't know. Let me keep rambling on. Y'all have any comments before I get to my next point?
Go ahead, to your point.
Go on.
Okay, now, what we cannot do is carte blanche to say, guess what, anybody I meet on the road, I know that. Stogie or Bobo and just kill them. Right. You know what I mean? They can't have that. Because what you're going to have is you're going to have another problem. You understand? Mm-hmm. So you have to do it the right way. But they need to increase the police. And police need to, if you see, you riding on the road, people get the bumper hanging off, all the light breaks. Just pull that car over. And we need like about 2,000 motorbike police. Where they can get the things quick. Mm-hmm. And the fellas know if I shoot somebody right now on Jump Road, 9 times out of 10, I ain't gonna get off of Jump Road. So you like, it ain't a problem with saturating the police. You need to do things for sense.
Different policing, community policing strategies. Not just that, I could imagine how frustrated.
Thank you very much, Carla.
I could imagine just how frustrated the police are on these roads. Like, I demand the police pay attention to traffic, but I also understand how frustrated they are. This woman run the stop sign in front of us, slow down to 2 miles an hour. When we blow the horn at her, her response is that she's going to drive at 2 miles an hour because she don't understand why we don't want to get cut off by her and enjoy her tailpipe smoke, right? Like, for no reason. Other than,
but Aaron, that's a road traffic issue.
But this is, but would you think that is?
Road traffic is police, eh?
No,
road traffic is not police.
That's a tax from the government.
No. No, the police is ticket people. The police is ticket you.
They have a ticket book. Yeah.
No, the police will ticket you. Perhaps, and perhaps you is the problem, sir. You telling the police that ain't their job.
No, there
the
is police a will,
and every police officer is a traffic officer and can stop you and fine you for any traffic offense, any infraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the beginning of crime. People will say it doesn't go before a criminal court, so it's not a crime. But that's the root of it. And if people don't think that that behavior is a problem, then don't get up and talk about these boy them getting bailed because you just as bad as them.
I think our police force is doing a fantastic job, I must say.
I think that the police force is overwhelmed.
They are.
Undermanned.
They are.
Under-resourced.
Overworked.
Under-trained. Not respected. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not given the so-called psychosocial support that they deserve. They're not doing a good job, but I can see why they're not doing a good job. They're trying their hardest. They are people who are, they sleeping in the station, not because they're lazy, but because they're dedicating their all to the force.
To the service.
They directing it to cheering even, the support. But that don't mean that the force is doing a good job.
But we have to look at it as an entire.
Go ahead. I see the line slid up. So I'm going
to. We have to look at it as an entirety, right? One man is not an island.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not one man is a nation. All of the components but makes up the nation makes mm-hmm. us who we are. So all of the organizations, what we call military, we have the defense force, we have the immigration, we have the prison officers, we have et cetera, et cetera. It's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in conjunction with everybody working together for one common goal. We want peace. We want tranquility.
Right, but
we
you
want
don't. But you in the uniformed forces, you don't get to breach my rights because it's difficult to do your job the right way.
So let's go back to the lines. Producer Pat, should I call her through? Go ahead, call her.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Morning.
You know, I don't see how a sense is that you are investing in an interdiction, but not investing in the judiciary. We need more lawyers. We need more courts, more judges, right? And I like to hear you guys address the issue. The big issue on legislation today is what's happening in the United States. From Joe Biden.
Don't mind that Biden was smoking. He was high. He mean to say
no,
that.
He's over 70. So I think it's one set
to
of
this nation. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's an issue. We, you know, and our prime minister says he's in charge, right? He's in charge now. He needs to really be in charge and deal with this marijuana. Time to legalize the use of marijuana. You understand me? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I appreciate it. I have one more caller there. Let me pass them through so we can respond. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for holding.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you. Caller, you hang up. Yeah, man. So, caller just got disconnected. Another issue I want to know. You mentioned, Aaron, that the Constitution is the Supreme Court of the land, and if you buck your head against it, it makes no sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I Ian forwarded me a forward where persons were questioning the Constitution. They said that the Bahamas does not have a right to bestow citizenship on, and use their name, on Haitians because they cannot give up their citizenship, right? And of course, it's all folly. Of course, it doesn't make any sense at all, and it's illogical in explanation, but it's trending. And I want to know what you all think about it. What is your theory on that concept, that the Bahamas does not have a right to bestow citizenship on whoever they want to bestow citizenship on?
Aaron, I said to him is that we were dialoguing and in the conversation, yeah, we were saying that if they're here in the Bahamas Constitution trumps any constitution while in the Bahamas. We can't look at what happens to the Haitians in terms of any mother, child born outside of the jurisdiction of Haiti is still considered to be Haitian and come and get their passport and their, well,
not,
their papers.
Not any. Your parent has to have been born in Haiti for you to enjoy that.
Right, right. They'll right. be like a descendant of that.
Right. So you were born in Haiti. You Haitian. You gave birth to me, your wife. Right?
Outside of the country.
Outside of the country. I am Haitian by virtue of the fact that you were born in Haiti. But when I have children now, because I wasn't born in Haiti.
You can't transfer.
It's not transferable.
No, it's not.
So does the Constitution of the Bahamas trumps all of that while in the Bahamas?
Well, I can't answer that.
Read the Supreme Court of the land. The Supreme Law of the land. So I think it trumps everything. But I see we're going on a brief commercial break. I see you. So when we come back, we're going to go straight to the phone line to have you and allow you to contribute to the discussion. So we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri and my guest hosts, Aaron Green and Ian Munnings. And we're having a series of discussions about the Constitution, about the law, and about the crime. I call us, I see you just hung up, I'm just about to go to you. But I see the caller call back, so I know they were holding on for a while. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for holding. I can hear you now, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Aaron and Ian, very interesting conversation this morning.
Morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
These conversations are actually trending, especially in our society, and we want these issues really be fleshed out by our legislators in particular. The supreme laws of this country is indeed the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Nothing trumps it. And our Constitution basically also, from my understanding, that no one should have dual citizenship in this country. In order to be a citizen of this country, you have to renounce where you come from and take on the Bahamian identity or nationality, if that is being politically correct. According to what I'm learning from the Haitian diaspora, the Constitution, and I think, Aaron, you're onto something there, where it states, basically, from my understanding, again, that a person born in Haiti it automatically gets that, and the offsprings of any Haitian parent, regardless of where they're born around the world, they are also regarded as inherently Haitian nationals.
Well, no, it's a generation thing, so. The first generation born outside of Haiti would receive it automatically, but that second generation does not receive it automatically, which is where... And so a lot of people have been using that as an argument that statelessness cannot exist, but we're talking about 50, 60 years of potentially undocumented people in the country, and so it is very likely that we do have a number of stateless people who would never have received Haitian citizenship automatically.
Credentials.
Right. Which means that they have nothing to renounce.
Well, that's
if they're the second generation, they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that, Jeffrey?
Well, like I'm saying, that's interesting. And the way you put it like that, I mean, it's now a bit clearer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still a lot of information that a lot of persons aren't privy to. And a lot of the information out there, you know, you're learning either by hearsay, as you can say, if you can put it like that, or by research, others coming forward and then putting their interpretation on what mm-hmm. is being said. So that in a sense, we need to flesh out a little bit. But let me just close on this one point, Nuri, before. Aaron, you said something very, very, very salient as regards to our law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. Police officers in this country are really not regarded in a high regard, mm-hmm. and as it relates to the criminality in this country, yeah. they are under resourced. They are often not paid properly. In fact, it is well known that a police officer is never off duty. Mm-hmm. Even when they're off duty, they're still on duty. Mm-hmm. And a police officer, regardless of whether they are attached to the Marine Division, to being a foot soldier or whatever, if they see an incident that regards crime being in motion, I believe that they do have the right to interdict on that particular incident and bring the law into play. There's no such thing as, oh, well, because I'm in traffic, that don't mean if I see a robbery going on, I don't get involved. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a robbery getting involved and I'm involved in traffic, that I don't get involved. A police officer is a police officer. And the rule of law is on their side, regardless of whether they're in traffic, whether they're foot soldiers, whether they're sergeant or corporal or whatever. It applies straight across the board from my understanding. Yes, unless I'm wrong, I want them to correct me on that.
No, he's assigned to the duty.
Mm-hmm. He's assigned to that particular duty, yes. But the law, it still trumps everything that he does. I mean, like I said, look at the off-duty police officer who got involved the other day in a robbery. Yes, we don't know. When I say in a robbery, in the interdiction of trying to foil a robbery in progress right in his presence. Mm-hmm. No one said what division he was a part of. No one said whether he was a part of traffic or whatever. But he did, as his training did, that are dictated, and that is that he's a peace officer and he's a member of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I believe that we need to resource them properly. I believe that they should be one of the highest paid in this country. In fact, along with the teachers, they should be highly paid. They shouldn't be scrapping for finances or anything. I believe that they should be paid properly because they are always on duty.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate your contribution.
Thank you.
Well, to piggyback what Jeff said, I believe that the officers should be paid. I have a lot of friends that are officers, and they are good guys. When I say good guys, they have proper training. I think a lot of times that the general public come across some, not all, some officers, and their training doesn't kick in very well in terms of how they handle the general public, the way they speak to the general public. You know, I've seen some officers that may not speak to the general public in the way that they should, and then there are some that carry themselves in a particular manner that wording of a police officer.
They stress out. You got to call, but they stress out.
Yeah, call a hangover just now, so hopefully they call back quickly. Right. It was your turn down. But I appreciate your explanation and definition about the transfer of citizenship in Haiti. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a general
understanding,
but apparently there are people who are manipulating truth. But I see the callers calling back again, so we go straight to them because they keep on calling back and dropping the call. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me now?
Hi, good day.
How you doing?
Let me just say, I remember as a young boy, my uncle was, and I can remember sitting down and polishing his toothpaste after used alcohol and the black thing would melt it down and polish their boots and polish their thing, and their tunics had to be stiff, and their haircut had to be right, and they had to go for what they call RPG team training. Like, but nowadays, they look sloppy. There ain't no other way to say it. They look like they mash up. Sometimes you see them coming out of the liquor store with the uniform halfway tuckled. I mean, you got to be professional. If you want respect on this road, you have to act and look the part. You can't, even if you... what people say, even a fool is considered wise until he opens his mouth. But people can look right at you and see, you aren't serious. This body is a young fella. Don't have no respect at them. And for the other caller who's saying this, man, yeah, police is the police 24 hours a day, but these fellas get guns. when the police knock off from where he get a terrorist gun in to the station, most of them. Mm-hmm. They have some special officers that allow to keep guns or whatever, but the majority of them. So I don't know what pool would go out there trying to stop somebody, and 9 times out of 10 they get high. So how even the gun they gain them, they ain't no good gun in the first place. So like Ms. Green said us now, they need to revamp and do better. There ain't no excuse. You got to do better. If the people them step up their game, you as the police force, you need to meet that. That's why you need force. Meet the force with the force.
Thank you very much, Carl. I appreciate it.
I think there is a small group of bad apples. And the vast majority of officers that we would say are bad officers are caught up in dysfunctional systems and are doing the best with what they have, right? I think that's a given.
Let me put a question to you, right, Aaron? Recently, our prime minister said, thank God we have the current commissioner of police at the helm, because if we didn't, crime and murder would have been worse.
I don't know what the prime minister was talking about. I need more data.
I'm just saying what the Prime Minister said.
I think what the Prime Minister was trying to say.
It's
my opinion now. It's based on my opinion.
Okay.
I'm thinking that he is saying that knowing the history or knowing the background of the current commissioner, mm-hmm. he is saying that he come up through the ranks and he understands crime.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a disconnect. He has a connect to the communities and the people.
You're making it even worse.
No. He has.
You saying that. By juxtaposing the other commissioner. So you're saying the other one doesn't have it?
The former one.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like the wording.
The wording still
of his
suggests.
Statement suggests that he knows something. Like,
and you
he's
came
making
and
an
add
comparison.
To it.
Aaron said the morale. We can see when the new current commissioner came in, the morale of the force was lifted. So it tells me that something that when the former commissioner was sitting there, something was going on wrong.
Well, no, it's not that something is going on wrong. Perhaps what it is that we've had a trend of appointees sort of from without the force and appointees from within the force. And the force seem to work better with people who have come up through
the ranks. I agree
right?
with you, Aaron.
And so the difference between the former and the current is slight.
I see the caller came in and gone out again, so we'll wait for them to call back.
But go ahead. But the thing about it is this, Aaron. We have a national crisis. The crisis that
we have a national. Use this crisis word.
It's a crisis. We're in a crisis. Hold on, we have been in double digits.
What's the crisis? You mean the murders?
We always had double digits. This is something normal.
The murders, we have the robberies. Because like you compared the officer the other day that was shot. I think that the assailant would have had on an ankle bracelet. Something is
that's normal. Still normal though.
That's not. That can't be normal. That cannot be normal.
All my life we had double digits.
The problem is the parents have to be held responsible also for these children.
Aaron,
the reality is, I've seen.
When last have we crime? I mean, murders was in the double digits.
One second, CA. I've seen now where the police have police station to the schools now. We have seen the level of out of control that the students are showing.
Okay, so
to the general public.
Right, but. In terms of murders, caller,
you want to go to the caller?
Go to the caller. We're missing them again.
Let's go to the caller.
Producer Pratchett, caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good morning. We're getting excited inside here, man.
Hi, Ian. Morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I just want to share a thought on something I watched a while ago on a live, right? I see what's going on here in this country. It's almost like somebody cast a spell on us as Bahamians. Okay? I see a press conference, right? You're looking for a suspect. You raise the picture to the media, to the public, right? And you're saying, this is the person I'm looking for, wanted, murder, right? Wearing an arm monitor, an ankle monitor bracelet. What's wrong with that? And then on the flip end of it, you're going to say, or you always say, any information, contact the police. Why in the world you think the public like myself or Joe Blow can be calling and this can get so serious and this is island, Because guess what? You want to come forth, but guess what? Every second, the same person who you lock up is out again on bail and for murder. So when I go and talk on him and the court let him out and he's back out on the street, then I leave me and my family.
You're afraid.
Eh? And then you with an ankle bracelet, I don't know his whereabout, okay?
Now,
and I like it when the reporter asks the question, what is his last known address. The police.
Is this Navolia Johnson?
Yes.
This is the president of the LOL Association. So mm-hmm. I think she has a lot of information in terms of canvassing to the area and seeing the plights and things that was going on in the community itself.
Well, and so that's the word right there. We need a shift to better community policing strategies.
Okay, Aaron, before you move, one last point and I'm finished because I know you have a limited time, right? And then again, I turn again watching. Were you going to send off 25 police officers with a cake and cakers? What nonsense is that? Every day we have enough time in our own.
We have enough troubles. We got to correct our home first.
What nonsense is this?
No.
What's happening with us now?
Carla, we got to help.
Are they going for a course? Are they going on a course?
No,
they're going to reinforce.
Enough of that.
But this is
thank you very much, Carla.
This is what I'm saying. This is things that I'm saying.
He's supposed to help.
See, this is what I'm saying. Help happens at home and then it ends abroad. We having a problem.
The hurricane, all kind of people came here to help.
It is what it is. It is the removing 25 officers from the force is not going. That's not detrimental to what's going on right now. We have a policing policy problem.
So what happened to the Defense Force officers?
They're not trained to police people. See, here's
and they're military. You're going to shoot.
They are military. So,
they need policing, not military.
So two things.
They might need some military presence and whatever they have going on in other countries to help.
You can't breach my rights because you can't do your job properly.
So
you can't breach my rights, right? The Constitution tells you what you could do. You can't breach my rights because you can't do that properly.
So
the response to this is the question of bail. The salient points. Coming from community members, and ma'am, Ms. Johnson, I wasn't trying to cut you off. I wanted us to move in that direction. The solutions and strategies come straight up from the community policing space. How am I supposed to live in a community with somebody that's put on bail immediately after making a report to the authorities that I did see something or I know something? That leads me to this idea that the judiciary is failing. You don't deny bail because you can't process people in a timely fashion. You make sure you could process people in a timely fashion. And people are getting paid too much money to not be doing their job.
Justice delayed is justice denied.
I see I have a caller here, and we're going to try to speed them through. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon. Nice show. The lady didn't say don't call her name, and you're calling the woman name, man. You're pointing her out. Anyway, my thing is, I think the reason why we're sending the 25 officers to Turks and Caicos is because they don't have a violence interrupter. You understand? We
Rodney?
Have one of those. Well, I didn't call her name.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But yes, that's who I meant. So,
Thank you.
That's what I call
the
thing.
The woman, president?
Yes, he could get a TTI woman them too. He could get all of the woman them on his side. But whatever the interrupted thing supposed to be, I'm not seeing it. I'm so sorry, but I think the media, Miss Erin, I love you. I call your show every morning.
They say he's sending Graham down there.
No. He's not the violent interrupter. He's not being paid for that. He's not the government contract worker.
I think
we need to do is you guys as media, I like Erin and I like you, Mr. Neary, too. But Erin, I think she's more outspoken. I think she needs to stand down there by the House of Assembly and ask them what is the interrupter doing? Because you know crime is being interrupted here, not even in the schools. It's getting worse since he has come aboard. I'm not sure if the persons are trying to prove a point that he should not be there, but I think something needs to be done. Somebody needs to call this government out on crime. Stick with one thing, leave everything else. We know what else is going on, but stick with crime and see where they are at. Because if we have this crime problem, you sending our officers that are not already short to another island to help, I could understand they need assistance. But come on, man, please. We need those same officers here.
Yeah.
I understand.
Erin, I would say this, Erin. If a country is experiencing that level of brutal force in their brunt forces happening in their country, and you warrant other countries around you to send in some level of policing to help and to assist, I'm saying that you have a serious issue. I'm saying to you is that you need some level of special forces to be in there. So taking 25 policemen and sending them in there, I don't think that might be the right way forward. I think that we have a trained military, which is our defense.
This is not a military issue. Yeah. It's a policing issue.
It's beyond a policing issue. If you're using high... See, watch again. Watch
you know we have the best detection rate inside the Caribbean. We have specialists on our police force who are able to solve crime.
If we have individuals that are using high-powered rifles in broad daylight, they are deviling. And not concerned about the general public, who they shoot, who they hit. We have had instances where persons were shot by stray bullets, etc. Children on the streets of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
When you take things to that level, there has to be some level of thought to get in and say, hey, we need an immediate response, an immediate stop.
Mm-hmm. I think a part of sending 25 officers from here to there...
Specialists,
is that they're not from Turks and Caicos, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to... You may feel that you have a problem with your cousin, with the cousin investigating the cousin, so mm-hmm. you send in some foreigners. You may also not want to send in white officers from Britain. There may be some tension mm-hmm. in country, so you don't want to go all the way to Britain.
And we sound like them.
Right. Right, there is a familiarity, but without the, you're going to make sure that you're not sending relatives, people who are connected to Turks and Caicos. You're not going
to
send them down
there.
But mind you, we must not forget that we did the same thing. We had police officers from Jamaica and Barbados and Trinidad came down here to accept us. So I see we have 1 minute left, Aaron. I let you close with that. Go ahead.
No, don't let me close.
I can close my own show then.
It's about systems, right? It's about systems. And I think at the end of the day, what we have to commit to is this, that we cannot get so frustrated that we're prepared to deny or breach rights because we want to make our job easier. And that has been one of the biggest issues with the government. The corruption has happened, but this idea that it's now become political convention, right? That it's fine to breach the Constitution to get the job done. That's the antithesis of governance. And then you might as well throw the Constitution away. You can't breach my rights and you can't breach the other person's rights. Even if, like I said, gay person, you can't breach the rights of the person that don't like gay people to make your job easier. And it's my job as a gay person to stand up and say that.
There you
That's
go.
The point.
My two cents.
We're actually out of time.
My two cents is, Neri, we need all of the behemoths to stand together to make this correct, the situation that we're having at home. That's what we
This is Guardian Radio AM. We see you next week. Have a wonderful day.